This is Judith Lay saying Moramai, good morning and welcome as Churches of the Island unite to be at your service. Manx Radio. Today we're tackling the question, what does it mean to dedicate your whole life to serving God? To find some answers, we're going to listen to two people explaining what it means to them. And my thanks to Mrs. Barbara Simpkins of Ramsey, whose hymn choice fits perfectly with our theme. O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. That'll be coming along a little later in the programme. But let's start with a lovely homegrown version of a great hymn of praise. During these weeks of lockdown, Gareth Moore has created his own virtual choir using multi-track recordings of his own voice and accompanying himself on either piano or organ. He's been posting these on the Isle of Man Methodist Church YouTube channel each week, and they've become really popular. Here's this week's recording. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. O ye who hear, brothers and sisters, draw near, praise Him in glad adoration.
To the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation, sung and played entirely by Gareth Moore, who's organist and musical director at Trinity Methodist Church at Rosemount here in Douglas, where there'll be a service open to everyone this morning at 10:30. On the church calendar, the 29th of June is a day to specially remember two great saints of the Christian Church, Peter and Paul. Paul didn't start out as a follower of Jesus. At the same time that Jesus' followers were spreading the message of the goodness of God and the gift of everlasting life, Saul, as he was known then, was dedicated to killing all these new Christians. But Saul was blinded while on the road to Damascus, and when he eventually regained his sight, he changed his name to Paul and changed his mission into a lifelong dedication to spreading the teachings of Jesus. Peter was different. He was one of Jesus' closest friends and went everywhere with him during the last few years of his life, the years that Jesus spent teaching and healing people. Peter was also the one to whom Jesus gave a very special commission. Let's hear how the story is told in the Bible.
When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life.
Well, everything did happen exactly as Jesus said it would. He went to Jerusalem, was betrayed, tortured, and died on the cross, but showed us that death isn't the end by rising from the dead, spending time with his friends, and then, when the time came for him to go back to God in heaven, he sent the gift of the Holy Spirit on his little group of friends, turning their fear and uncertainty into the courage to go out to preach and teach and heal in Jesus' name. So, did having that gift of the Holy Spirit make life easy for them? Certainly not. Paul might have stopped killing Christians, but as the Bible tells us, others had not.
It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak round you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen."
Huddersfield Choral Society and Mrs. Barbara Simpkin's hymn choice, O Jesus, I Have Promised to Serve Thee to the End. Well, we've heard what it meant to St. Peter and St. Paul to dedicate their whole life to serving God. But 2,000 years later, what does it mean today to dedicate your whole life to serving God right to the end? Well, this is what it means to a priest in the Church of England, Reverend Mark Wolverson.
This is Mark Wolverson, the vicar of St. James Church in Leyland and area dean of Leyland in the Diocese of Blackburn. For 4.5 years, I was vicar of All Saints Church in Douglas. This week, I celebrated the 23rd anniversary of my ordination as a priest, which was, along with my wedding day, I have to say, the happiest day of my life. That ordination was the culmination of a 10-year journey of discernment in my vocation through prayer and also the support and encouragement of fellow Christians. From the start of my ministry as a priest to the present, the biggest privilege for me has been presiding at the Holy Eucharist and sharing with God's people in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The other wonderful privilege is being with the people I serve at the most important moments in their lives, the happy times of celebration, such as weddings and baptisms, and the sad times, such as illness or funerals. Before I led my first funeral, I was actually dreading the experience, because let's be honest, death is not something that we naturally feel comfortable talking about. But I have to say, right from that first funeral, the privilege of comforting a family and giving them spiritual hope in a time of pain and grief is something that I have actually found very beneficial for them and fulfilling in my ministry. I was encouraged by my bishop at my ordination interview to always pray with grieving families at the funeral visit, and it's something that I have always done, and they, in every case, have always been grateful. Over the years since my ordination, I've also learned the importance of collaborating with my fellow Christians and seeking their advice and wisdom in the decisions of parish leadership. Listening to others is a gift that is too often taken for granted. Every person has a story to tell, wisdom to share, and a testimony about how God has touched their lives. Another important lesson I have learned is affirming the gifts and talents of every single member of a worshiping community. Too often, we can inadvertently write people off and fail to realize their value, their gifts, and their God-given abilities. The fact is that God loves each and every one of us more than we can ever know, and He calls each and every one of us to serve Him in building up and nurturing the body of Christ. No one is to be left out. Probably the biggest challenge over the years for all of us as Christians has to be sharing the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and the good news of the gospel in an increasingly secular age. We are constantly challenged to share that good news in new and creative ways, fulfilling our promise to proclaim the Christian faith afresh in each generation. The current pandemic and lockdown has certainly challenged us to do that, and many churches and pastors and priests have responded robustly by offering excellent online services every day. Services which have welcomed many new people into the fellowship of the Christian faith and introduced them to the gift of prayer. It has also been inspirational seeing the way many Christians and others have reached out to those who are isolated or shielding by delivering food, medication, and other provisions and resources. So all in all, being a priest is a joyful, often challenging vocation. I've done it for 23 years now, and it's the most fulfilling job I could possibly imagine doing. Sometimes it can be very difficult indeed, but through the good times and the bad, God is always with us, even during those times when it is hard to feel His presence.
Through it all, I choose to serve the Savior. Through it all, I claim Christ as mine. Calls me home or comes again.
My thanks to Anglican priest Reverend Mark Wolverson, reflecting on his own call to serve God. Husband and wife, Lieutenants Dylan and Rachel Nevote, lead the Salvation Army on the island. And this week it was announced that, in recognition of their 5 years of exemplary service, they've both been promoted to the rank of captain. In a few moments, Captain Rachel will lead a little time of prayer for us all, whatever our calling. But first, let's listen to Captain Dylan explaining what serving God meant to another husband and wife many years ago, and what it means to him in the present-day Salvation Army.
This week, we celebrate Founders Day in the Salvation Army, which tracks back to the 2nd of July, 1865, making the Salvation Army 155 years old. William Booth, the pioneer of this extraordinary movement, was born in Nottingham, England. He grew up as a pawnbroker's son and apprentice. William saw firsthand how the poor were getting even poorer as they traded in their earthly possessions and treasures to simply survive. And at the age of 15, William went with a friend to hear a visiting preacher. At this meeting, he was inspired. The history records William saying this, "God shall have all there is of William Booth." William then moved to London at the age of 23 and he became a full-time minister. It was then that William met Catherine Mumford. She was an intelligent, well-read and passionate person. They fell in love and they were soon married. Everywhere they went, the Booths worked very hard to share the love of God with the poor and with the needy. In 1865, he left his work as a church minister and he and Catherine started the Christian Mission, a group of evangelists who preached in London's poorest areas. William spoke of God's love to those whose society had forgotten or rejected. But William soon found out that people didn't want to hear about God's love if they were still cold and hungry. William realized that he had to show God's love to the people first before he could talk about it. Today, the Salvation Army is an international movement helping people holistically through practical and spiritual care. What drove William and Catherine Booth to establish this wonderful movement was paying attention to the call of God, to roll up their sleeves and to make a real difference. William certainly saw and experienced the impact of poverty on society. He had a choice to ignore the problems or to become a part of the solution. Thankfully, the Booths responded, putting their faith into action. The Booths had a driving passion to share the good news of the gospel and to see lives wonderfully transformed. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, Jesus said, "Whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." The Booths lived by this truth, so they were driven to serve Christ and to encourage others to do the same. Thinking about my own life, I grew up in a small rural town in South Africa. And when I was 18, I worked as a delivery driver. Traveling between deliveries on a very hot sunny day, I was startled to hear an audible voice from an invisible source. The voice told me to go to America and to work as a youth pastor. And I believe that this was the Holy Spirit prompting me to action. God had called me to serve Him, and amazingly, everything fell into place. I found myself working with the Salvation Army on the East Coast of America. I mostly served inner-city youth from very difficult and deprived backgrounds, but this was very rewarding work. Later, God directed me to London to serve Him there. Since then, I have ministered in multiple cities, working mostly with antisocial youth, encouraging them to live constructive lives and pointing them to Jesus. My ministry flowed into helping the homeless, drug addicts, alcoholics, the imprisoned, and the vulnerable. Fast forward to today, my wife Rachel and I are now captains in the Salvation Army, leading, pastoring, and serving our beautiful community on the Isle of Man. When I think about my calling as a spiritual leader, I am reminded from a quote from J. Oswald Sanders in his book called Spiritual Leadership. He says, "The road to spiritual authority and leadership is not won by promotion, but by many prayers and tears. It is attained by confession of sin and much heart-searching and humbling before God, by self-surrender, a courageous sacrifice of every idol, a bold, uncomplaining embrace of the cross, and by eternally looking unto Jesus crucified. I can relate to Booth's early calling in life, and perhaps one day the history books will remember me saying, "God shall have all there is of Dylan." My question is, though, what is God saying to you today?
Father God, as we come before you today in prayer, we thank you for the promises found in your word that tell us that we are each called, that we each have a plan and a purpose designed specifically for us by you. So we ask that today you will open our hearts and our ears and our minds once again to your calling upon each of our lives, that you will give us courage to respond and to step out in faith. We thank you today for the example that we can see in your word and for the example shown throughout history of people who have followed you, who have responded to your calling, who have been faithful. Father, help us to be like them. Help us with the courage of Jesus to step out in faith, to follow the calling over each of our lives and to live for you today. In Jesus' powerful name we ask. Amen.
All there is of me.
Thank you to Captains Dylan and Rachel Nevote, leaders of the Salvation Army on the island. And the Army have their first worship service open to everyone in Fairfield Road School here in Douglas this morning at 10:30. Now I'd like to say a very good morning to Mrs. Hilda Mander, who's listening in Tremode Park. Hilda, I've greetings for you from your friend Anne Clark, who tells me that you listen each week. Thank you, Hilda. I really appreciate your company. And by happy coincidence, it's Anne Clark who has a poem for us as we draw the programme to a close. The Loom of Time has a theme that I think is familiar to so many of us, the light and the dark in our lives that through many years weaves together to form a pattern that's sometimes difficult for us to see, but never for the God who designed it.
Man's life is laid in the loom of time to a pattern he does not see, while the weavers work and the shuttles fly till the dawn of eternity. Some shuttles are filled with silver threads and some with threads of gold, while often but the darker hues are all that they may hold. But the weaver watches with skillful eye each shuttle fly to and fro, and sees the pattern so deftly wrought as the loom moves, sure and slow. God surely planned the pattern. Each thread, the dark and fair, is chosen by his master skill and placed in the web with care. He only knows its beauty and guides the shuttles which hold the threads so unattractive, as well as the threads of gold. Not till each loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly shall God reveal the pattern and explain the reason why the dark threads were as needful in the weaver's skilful hand as the threads of gold and silver for the pattern which he planned.
Come be with me, all you who carry heavy burdens, I will give you rest.
And that's all that we have time for today. My thanks to everyone who took part in today's programme, and my thanks to you for your company. Do please keep letting me know the hymns that you'd like to hear. You can email me anytime on judithleigh@manxradio.com. Leigh is spelled L-E-Y. I would love to hear from you. All being well, I'll be back here next Sunday morning at 9:30, as the churches of the island will once again be at your service. But for now, this is Judith wishing you and those you love a safe and blessed week and a very good morning.
The Nation Station.